I want to begin today by just asking you to join me in confession. Think with me about the amount of time that you spend each day streaming digital media of one type or another. Just think about that. I'm going to give you a minute. How much time do you spend each day streaming some form of digital media? Okay, confession time. On average, would you confess to spending less than 1 hour a day? I don't spend a lot of time streaming anything. B, somewhere between 1 and 2 hours. I stream 1 or 2 hours. Now remember, this is all digital media. Or C, would you confess to spending 3 or more hours a day streaming digital media? What do you think? Where do you fall? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're like most people, your instinct will lead you to select option A or maybe B. Most of us do not want to confess to spending more than 1/4 of an 8-hour day streaming media. That just doesn't sound good. So, you know what we do? We minimize. How do I know that? Because the average amount of time spent in the United States streaming digital media is actually 3 hours and 9 minutes a day. Most of us are closer to option C than either A or B. That's just true. So let me ask you this. What are you streaming? Because I love trends, I did a little bit of digging, and I'm just going to share a couple of discoveries for fun. So the most watched streaming service in the United States today is Netflix. Probably not a surprise. Number two is Prime, followed by Disney, and then Max. The top serial shows streamed each week, if you want to guess, are, ready for this, Shogun, current. I've watched an episode or two, pretty good, followed by Lizbeth, a new show, and another new show, The Tracker, a couple of new ones. And the top movies streamed today, Dune, good if you love sci-fi, Oppenheimer, the movie that took 7 Oscars home, and a show titled Past Lives. Bottom line is this, new shows do pretty well in digital land. But then again, so do the oldie goldies. When I was researching this podcast last week, I couldn't help but think about what television would have looked like had streaming been a thing in my growing up years. It made me think, so how are the oldie goldies doing today? Turns out, better than most would think. If you've never heard of it, there's actually a network out there that specializes in television from the 60s and 70s. If you're pining for the days when Gilligan's Island and Gunsmoke ruled the airwaves, I've got good news for you. There's a network for you. If you've not yet tuned in to MeTV, allow me to be the first to invite you. What is it? Well, MeTV is the network of the oldie, the goldie, and it's loaded with treasures. Among its top 5 shows, very different than Primetime Network, are number 5, Hogan's Heroes. Do you remember that? Number 4, Cheers. Yes, everybody still knows your name. Number 3, The Twilight Zone. Number 2, MASH. I thought MASH would probably be number 1. It's actually number 2. And then drumroll number 1. Number 1 most streamed oldie goldie today is The Andy Griffith Show. Talk about good TV. So let me tell you what got me thinking about these old shows. In today's podcast, Peter, remember, we're making our way through chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Peter sets before us 2 words. The words are, and I'm going to use the Greek here because we'll dig into this today. The words are hageliomai. It's a Greek verb generally translated with our English term rejoice. Hageliomai. And then the second word is lupeo, which we would translate as our English word pain. Put those 2 words together. I'm rejoicing. Oh, now I have pain. Oh, I have pain. Nope, now I'm rejoicing. So at first glance, these 2 words or 2 thoughts, rejoicing and experiencing pain, appear to be what? Opposites. But are they? In our time together, it's my hope to suggest that there's a very real way in which pain and rejoicing exist, not as opposites, but actually 2 things that live together in a perfect tension. In fact, among the many things that we can learn from Peter, This is one that I believe has real significance for the time in which we're living today. So let's dig in. I'm going to tell you that one of the things, again, that got me thinking about our topic is this oldie goldie show titled The Beverly Hillbillies. This one takes us back a ways. If you remember the premise of the show, it involved a family led by a widowed patriarch, Jed Clampett. And for years, the family had lived happily in Silver Dollar, a city in the swamplands of Missouri. One day, Jed goes out to hunt. He's hunting for rabbits. And wouldn't you know it, when he shoots, he misses the rabbit, but his bullet strikes the ground, producing a beautiful bubbling substance, oil that is, lots of rich oil. Before you know it, the OK Oil Company has paid Jed and his family millions of dollars for the right to drill on the land, and off Jed and family moved to Beverly Hills, California. I'll tell you what I've always found fascinating is the fact that when this show first appeared on the airwaves, many of you remember in 1962, it was panned by critics. I don't know if you realize that, but Hollywood did not like the show. The New York Times called the show, quote, strained and unfunny, end quote. Really? What's happening with you, New York Times? Variety magazine critics used even harsher terms. They called the show, quote, painful to sit through, end quote. Yet while Hollywood and the elite hated Granny Jethro and Jed, America did not. Did you know this? Shortly after its debut, The Beverly Hillbillies shot to the top, number one of the Nielsen ratings, where they stayed for several seasons. When you look back on it, the season two episode titled, quote, The Giant Jackrabbit, end quote, became the most watched half-hour sitcom of its time. Think about that. The most watched half-hour sitcom of its time. A designation, by the way, that it still holds to this day. Yep, Jed still holds the record. So why do I bring this show up? Or stated a bit differently, what do the Beverly Hillbillies, these oldies, have to do with the biblical book of 1 Peter? Here's the answer. It's in the Word. Do you remember the opening song in the television show? Written by Paul Henning, performed by the Foggy Mountain Boys, the words to the song titled The Ballad of Jed Clampett go like this. Come and listen to a story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting for some food. And up through the ground came a bubbling crude oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Ken folks said, Jed, move away from there. Said California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools and movie stars. Sorry, if you're like me, you're going to be singing that song in your head for the next 2 weeks. It is catchy. Now, listen to these words. Then one day, he was shooting for some food, and up from the ground came a bubbling crude. Can you picture that? That bubbling crude gushing up from the ground. Up it goes. If you can, then you are beginning to understand what Peter means when he uses the term, I'm going to go back to it, hagaliaomai. It means rejoice. Just listen to Peter's words. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Remember the context. Peter's been talking about the inheritance kept for us in heaven and guarded by the Holy Spirit during our time here on earth. The inheritance, of course, is a reminder that we are not made to live here on this fallen earth forever. Adam and Eve were. They were made to live here on the earth forever. Prior to sin, that's what was supposed to happen. Following sin, no. Our corrupt earth? Mm-mm. A new earth is coming, and it's coming at the time of the resurrection. That's our inheritance. We will inherit eternal life forever on a new earth. Now, about this inheritance, Peter now says in verse number 6, Lord, we just pray that you give us your direction here. Quote, I'm just going to read it. Chapter 1, verse 6, 1 Peter. In this you rejoice. There's our word. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have pain through various trials. Okay, I'm going to say it again. In this, your inheritance, right? You rejoice. Though now, while you're living here on earth, for a little while, if necessary, you have pain through various trials, but put it together. Peter is suggesting that as Christians, the Holy Spirit causes something to bubble up inside of us. It's not oil. It is the oil of gladness that surrounds the promise that lay at our very core. It is the conviction that lives inside of us that causes us, no matter our circumstance, not only to have joy ourselves, but to seek that joy for others. It bubbles out of us and into the lives of others. And I have to say, this is a very different perspective from the one held by so many in our world today. I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. This past week, a television show aired that was centered in an interview conducted by Robin Roberts of ABC Television. The subject of the interview was none other than supermodel Gisele Bündchen. Most of us, of course, know that name. We know that for years. Gisele has been named one of the most well-known, highest-paid models on planet Earth. Her fame increased to a new level upon marrying superstar NFL player Tom Brady, as did her intake of cash. Fun aside, Gisele is said to have made some $500 million in modeling, contrasted to Brady's $330 million in football. Bündchen and Brady stole headlines everywhere they went. Then abruptly in 2022, divorce entered the picture. Now, I'm going to try to say this carefully. When a divorce happens, it doesn't matter how much money you make, how much fame you possess, what award you hold. It is painful. There's a tearing apart of something that God meant to last for a lifetime. You know what? Even if you don't believe in God, and by the way, both Bündchen and Brady are professed Catholics, even if you don't believe in God, that tearing apart that happens in a divorce is painful. Now, during Robin Roberts' interview with Bündchen, a moment takes place that I believe goes to the very heart of what Peter is getting at in the words that we just read, 1 Peter 1:6. Roberts is talking to Bündchen about the pain of her divorce, a talking point that causes Gisele to pause for a moment, ask for the cameras to be turned off or redirected, asking again for a moment to recover from the onset of tears. After she cries and is composed, Roberts asks Gisele a question. The question went something like this. Quote, Gisele, now that the divorce is over and you're getting back on your feet again, do you ever feel that you will have joy again? End quote. In other words, Gisele, you've gone through a lot of pain. Are you ready to move back to that place of joy again? Now, if you watch the interview, you'll remember what happened. Gisele, for a moment, giggled and intimated, well, you know what? There is a new man in life. And she pauses and looks back at Roberts and says, yeah, you know what? I do think I'll have joy again. Now, here's a lot of people didn't notice this, but here's what I want you to notice about the interview. There's an underlying message to it all. What is it? Here's the underlying worldly message. If you have pain in your life today, just hold on. Because a day is coming when the pain will be gone and you'll have joy again. As though pain and joy cannot live concurrently together. The joy that you have today might be interrupted by pain for a season. Or the pain that you have today might be supplanted by joy, ending the pain. Joy and pain. Haleluya, oh my, in lupeo. You might have one or the other, but the two do not live together, or do they? You see, this is what I believe makes Peter's words so powerful. Listen to them again. Quote, 1 Peter 1:6. In this you rejoice, bubble up. Though now for a little while, right now, while that's bubbling up, if necessary, you have pain. Two living together through various trials, end quote. You can see what Peter's doing. He's creating a tension, not an either or, but a both and. He's suggesting that there is pain in the lives of his hearers, and there was. The pain for Peter's hearers in the first century was very real. We've learned that. The pain had to, for many of Peter's hearers, been excruciating. History tells us that persecution in the time frame during which Peter's writing was horrifying. Wives lost husbands because of their faith in Jesus. Husbands were forced to watch their wives raped at the hands of sadists who used them and enslaved them. Husbands and wives lost children, their children, to slavery. The pain was unbearably real. In this, Peter does not say, hang on, Christians, hang on. This time of pain will pass, and then you'll have joy. No. What does he say? He says, even now, during this time of pain, here's what the Spirit gives you. The Spirit gives you not just joy, but a Jed Clampett, bubbling up, crude, erupting out of you kind of joy. And it's indeed meant to invite others into that same joy. This is not conditional joy, but unconditional joy that can only be found in one place. And that is within the context of a relationship with Jesus. It's this kind of joy that I believe raises some questions for you and me. As I read 1 Peter, three questions came to mind. I'm going to share them with you, and then we'll close. Here's question number one. Where is there pain in your life today? And I want to encourage you really not to answer that too quickly. I really don't want you to. Instead, I want you to hear the question, and I want you just to stop and put aside that part of yourself that says, nah, I'm good. Things are good. No pain here. Put that aside. And I want you to recognize that there is pain in every one of us. You cannot live in this broken world and not have it. For some, it's the pain of loneliness. It's very real. For some, it's pain that reaches back a long way. You'd be surprised at how many people I talk to as a pastor that when they give themselves permission and room to think about their lives, find their way back to a relationship or relationships where they were hurt badly. Are you over it? I'll say. Pause. Not really. For some, it was pain in the holding environment of their home. Maybe it was a dad or a mom that caused the pain. For others, it was a marriage that came apart. For some, it was betrayal. Our world is filled with things that hurt us to our core. For some, it's the pain of loss. What I know is if we just allow ourselves a little bit of room, we'll acknowledge, is there pain in my life? Truthfully, yeah, there is. So what is that? Where is that for you? Question one. Question two. In what ways have you tried to cover it up, your pain? You know what I've discovered about us as humans? We're pretty good at covering things up. At least we think we are. And you know this, we use all sorts of things to cover our pain up. Busyness, work, other relationships. Giselle, Robin Roberts asks, are you going to have joy again? Yeah. I just need to get another relationship in my life. Really? That's where your joy comes from? Some find covering in an endless pursuit of new experiences. I'm always looking for the next high. Are there things in your life today that you're using to cover up pain? Question three. In what ways have you discovered that you can actually have joy even in the midst of pain? I have to tell you that in 1 second flat, I can always spot a person that's trying to fake their way into positivity, into being positive while in the midst of pain. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about here is what it means to Jed Clampett gush with joy. The joy of the cross of Jesus Christ, even though the pain in your life will not let go. Have you experienced this? Because I'm convinced that this is exactly what Peter has in mind when he writes, let's read it one last time, in this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have pain through various trials. Well, that's it for today. I'm going to be praying for you. I ask that you pray for me. Easter is just around the corner, busy time. But do keep us in our prayers. I got you in mind. And until next time, have a God-sized week.